From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled Confronting Our Jerichos, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 65 and verse 11. Thy paths drop fatness. Many are the paths of the Lord which drop fatness, but a special one is the path of prayer. No believer who is much in the closet will have need to cry, my leanness, woe unto me. Starving souls live at a distance from the mercy seat, and become like the parched fields in times of drought. Prevalence with God in wrestling prayer is sure to make the believer strong, if not happy. The nearest place to the gate of heaven is the throne of the heavenly grace. Much alone, and you will have much assurance. Little alone with Jesus, your religion will be shallow, polluted with many doubts and fears, and not sparkling with the joy of the Lord. Since the soul-enriching path of prayer is open to the very weakest saint, since no high attainments are required, since you are not bidden to come because you are an advanced saint, but freely invited if you be a saint at all, see to it, beloved, that you are often in the way of private devotion. Be much on your knees, for so Elijah drew the rain upon famished Israel's fields. There is another special path dropping with fatness to those who walk therein. It is the secret walk of communion. Oh, the delights of fellowship with Jesus! Earth hath no words which can set forth the holy calm of a soul leaning on Jesus' bosom. Few Christians understand it. They live in the lowlands and seldom climb to the top of Nebo. They live in the outer court. They enter not the holy place. They take not up the privilege of priesthood. At a distance they see the sacrifice, but they sit not down with the priest to eat thereof and to enjoy the fat of the burnt offering. But, beloved, sit thou ever under the shadow of Jesus. Come up to that palm tree and take hold of the branches thereof. Let thy beloved be unto thee as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, and thou shalt be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. O Jesus, visit us with thy salvation.
Splendor and beauty. sustained by joy, trial and pain, I trust your wisdom and mercy. Through suffering your love ordains, for like your Son, you will make me. For Christ embraced the cross of shame, beholding glorious joys to come. Oh, give me faith like his to see, that suffering lives me.
Indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. In this message, Dr. Cairns has been seeking to provide biblical answers for God's people facing obstacles. Although, like Israel, present-day believers face opposition from a world that hates Christ and His gospel, Christians have every reason for rejoicing, for the Lord has assured His people of victory in all these areas, in their personal lives, in their service for Christ, and in the work of the church. In the final portion of the message, Dr. Cairns is showing the Lord's plan for achieving that victory. That plan includes grasping God's promises by faith, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit rather than on the flesh, waiting for a demonstration of God's power instead of running ahead of the Lord, doing the work God intends for you and never deviating from it. Now to conclude this message, Confronting Our Jerichos, here is Dr. Cairns.
You see, at the heart of a Christian's faith is Christ. Get your eyes on Him. Let who He is, what He has done, and the mighty grace whereby He has united you to Himself and imputed to you His righteousness. Let that fill your heart and your mind. And live in the light of that. You'll be living and serving by faith. Then He says, compass the city about. It's a very important action. Compassing the city about. First of all, it emphasizes our worship. They carried the ark around. This was an act of worship. Then it emphasizes our walk. We're walking publicly in the sight of the ungodly. How are we to compass the world? Walking in the worship of the Lord. Walking in the footsteps of the Lord. Walking, as I might put it, in the shadow of the ark of the Lord. That's how we're to walk. That's what we're commanded to do. Then this is an action that calls attention to our work. The Lord did not say, I have given Jericho into your hands, now lie down indolently and wait until the walls fall. No, that's not the way it was to be. That's the way of the hyper-Calvinist. God is going to save His elect, so we don't need to pray, we don't need to witness, we don't need to run after souls, we don't need to get out of breath going after the ungodly. That's what the hyper-Calvinist says. John Calvin would not have recognized them and would have been ashamed that they bore his name, for he certainly got out of breath running after the ungodly, even the most wicked of the ungodly. Oh no, we're called to work. Compassing the city is a work of obedience, and it's a work of great consistency. And then compassing the city emphasizes our waiting. Oh, this is the trial of faith. This is the patient endurance of faith. Sometimes we wonder, why does the Lord not do it all today? Why does He not do it all immediately? Well, the Lord knows what He's doing. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. We're called to compass the city patiently until the Lord does the work. And then He gave them a third step, and that was be silent. Be silent. Now that again is a strange thing in worldly terms. You've got this great army walking around the city. And He says, don't utter a word. There's not to be a shout. There's to be no cry of victory. There's to be no voice of man heard. There's to be no taunting of the people in the walls. Silence. What does that tell us? It tells us that the natural passions must be held in check. That's what it tells us. The natural passions have no place in the work of God. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Zechariah records the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We must never forget that we proceed in the power of the Spirit and not in the power of the flesh. What's wrong with much of our Christian activity? That there's far too much noise from the flesh. There's far too much of the voice of the flesh. There's far too much of the opinion of the flesh. There's far too much of the love of the flesh. And the Lord is saying, silence the flesh. Silence the flesh. Then he says, the fourth step, blow the trumpets of jubilee, called the ram's horns here. They probably were ram's horns, but they are actually trumpets of jubilee. If they weren't made of a ram's horn, they were shaped like a ram's horn. But I believe that this brings us back to the great teaching of Numbers chapter 10. Here you have the joyful sound of the Lord's presence and of the Lord's help, sounding forth in the midst of the people and before the people of Jericho. What were those trumpets sounding? They were sounding the Lord's truth and the Lord's purpose. That's what they were sounding. And they were a witness to saints and a warning to sinners. I've referred to Numbers 10, the silver trumpets. We are to put the trumpet of God to our lips. The world doesn't need to hear the flesh. It needs to hear the gospel. It needs to hear the silver trumpet of the message of redemption. It needs to hear the message of jubilee. The trumpets of jubilee sounded forth the great message of deliverance for those who were captive, the setting free of those who were in bondage, the cancellation of debt to those who were in debt. That was the message of jubilee. And this is the trumpet of jubilee that's being sounded. Then there's a fifth step. This really is a sermon all on its own, so let me sum it up in a sentence very carefully. Go forward. Only after the Lord has given a demonstration of His power and His purpose. Christians are not called to stumble blindly into the future. They are called to keep patiently waiting upon God, walking with God, doing what they know to be the will of God, and not to move forward into any new venture until they have from God a clear demonstration of His purpose, His will, and His power. The Lord told these people, do this, and they did it. But He said, before you go up against Jericho, I must do something. I must bring down the walls. I think of many people who make such shipwreck of their lives because they are determined to stumble forward or press forward. They think that faith is a leap in the dark. It's not. It's a step in the light. They make such shipwreck because of this determination to bore their way ahead, even when they have no word from God, no demonstration of God's purpose or God's plan. Why did the Lord put this in here? To stop fleshly innovations. That's why He put it there. And that's a very needful word for us today. When the Lord displays His power, we can go forward and we can do great things. Now, the Lord, to an extent, has done that. He did it at Pentecost, and so therefore we have a mission to preach in the power of the Spirit. The Lord has done this in times of revival. But you know, we must not manufacture out of the flesh, out of the mind of the flesh. We must not manufacture revival signs. We must wait upon God. That's the hardest thing in waiting for revival, waiting upon God. People want to be up and doing this and doing that and producing revival. That has always been the enemy of the work of God. Time forbids that we go into a history of the second great awakening. One of the great, what brought it ultimately to an end. And certainly what caused many a difficulty during it was the determination of certain groups to manufacture the signs of revival. If it's not coming in the old-fashioned way, then we'll produce it. We have people doing the same thing today. We are told about the great charismatic awakening that has gone across the world. It is an awakening, but of their own kind. You get people who are skillful in producing psychological and even physical effects. And because they can point out that in certain periods of revival, revival produced similar effects. When they produce the effect, they have got the revival. And that's nonsense. God says, you wait until I bring the walls down. And then the sixth step, every man go up. Every man know his own place of service and attend to it. It's a vital part. In our personal victory, in the church's victory, every man must know his place. Did you ever notice in the New Testament epistles how the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, for instance, writing again to the Corinthians, and this comes out in the pastoral epistles as well, how he emphasizes Christians knowing their own place in the body of Christ, recognizing their own peculiar place in the service of God and the forwarding of the work of the gospel. Every man must know his place and attend to that place. I know people, I could name you people, who have wasted an entire lifetime trying to be what God never intended them to be. Think back to my own father's testimony. He had a great desire to be a preacher. He was to be a Belfast city missionary. That was his aim, his desire. He had a heart for the work. He was willing for the sacrifice and for the service. But the Lord in his wisdom decided not to make my father a preacher. And I smile because my dad produced one great sermon. And it was a great sermon. Sermonette, I should say. It was on the text, My Lord and My God. When I tell you it took 7 years to prepare that sermon, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. And it took another 7 years to embellish and to ruin it, so that by the time he ever got to deliver it publicly, it was a disaster. So it was the wisdom of God that didn't make my dad a preacher. Thankfully, he had the wit to recognize that and did not waste his life and his family's life on the foolish attempt to be it. I remember a man coming to our door years ago. He hadn't recognized that. He traveled from state to state, from church to church, from situation to situation, dragging his family here, there, and yonder, determined to be a preacher. And every time God shut the door in his face, and he never learned the lesson, at least while I knew him, never learned the lesson. How much good a man can do in his own place. Every man, every woman, know your place. Know what God would have you to do and attend to it. And the final thing, in the last words of verse 5, every man must pursue God's work without deviating from it. Notice that he's to go straight before him. When the Lord sets before you his work, don't get waylaid. Don't miss out. Not only so, even if you're not in what the world calls full-time service, if God has made you a shopkeeper, a carpenter, a plumber, whatever God makes people in this world, never forget, he has first made you a Christian. And never lose sight that whatever you are in this life, wherever God has placed you in this life, It is to serve Christ. It is to let the light of the gospel shine there through you. Go straight up before you. Don't be waylaid. Don't miss your calling. Don't miss your part in serving Christ. This is how we're to live and how we're to serve as Christians as we face our Jerichos. We may sum it all up in the words of 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. May the Lord indeed teach us how to face our Jerichos. May the Lord lead us each one as Christians into personal victory, into the victory of successful service. And may He lead us as a church toward that great day when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.